Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anirudh Nagpal from JM Financial Institutional Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, operator, and welcome everyone to the call. I will first thank Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited for giving JM Financial the opportunity to host today's call. So without much ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Investor Relations, Welspun Group, to introduce the management. Over to you, Salil.
Thank you, Anirudh, and good afternoon to all of you. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q1 FY26 results earnings call. Along with me, we have with us today Mr. Anuj Barakia, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Navin Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gautam Chakraborty, Head Investor Relations, Welspun Corp. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that was filed with the exchanges. The presentation is also available on the company's website. During today's discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. We'd request you to take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation also. As usual, we'll start the forum with opening remarks by the leadership team, and then we will open the floor for your questions. As the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered, post the earnings call, please feel free to reach out either to me or Navin or Gautam. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Anuj Barakia. Anuj, over to you.
Thank you, Salil. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me welcome you all to the Quarter 1 Financial Year 26 earnings call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. Let me first briefly talk about the global macroeconomic environment, our industry scenario, and company's performance before we get into an interactive session. On the back of a turbulent macroeconomic environment, geopolitical events, supply chain disruptions, and heightened economic fragmentation, the global economy grew at 3.3% in calendar year 2024. Emerging markets and developing economies delivered a better performance by growing at about 4.3%. The global economy is expected to maintain a modest growth with a forecast of 2.8% for calendar year 2025 and 3% for calendar year 2026. This growth will be supported by more accommodative monetary policies aimed at ensuring price stability, stimulating economic activity, and boosting employment. To mitigate the impact of protectionist policies, tariff actions, and heightened trade tensions, leaders around the world are undertaking economic interventions and strategic negotiations through dialogue in order to secure favorable bilateral trade alliances and to ease and stabilize global trade. The Indian economy had remained resilient and recorded growth of good 6.5% in financial year 25. As projected by the Reserve Bank of India, it is expected to sustain this growth momentum at 6.5% during financial year 2026 as well. Coming to our company, amidst the volatility and uncertainties with respect to trade actions impacting global demand scenario, Welspun Specialty continues to engage with all the customers in order to address the external scenario in best manner, maintain operational stability, and consistently increase our volumes. As mentioned during our previous interaction, we undertook five-yearly scheduled maintenance activity of pipe plant planned for 4 weeks during the month of June. It took some extra time for the nature of activity and the perfection it deserved, however, concluded very successfully in mid of July. This is expected to result into substantial improvement in uptime and productivity of pipe plant. This maintenance schedule, however, impacted the production and sales volume of pipe during the quarter. I will also like to update you regarding prepayment of non-cumulative redeemable preference shares of Rs. 51 crores, which have been prepaid at a value of Rs. 27 crores, resulting into effective reduction of liability of about 24 crores captured in the reserves and surplus. These shares with fair value as on 31st March 2025 of Rs. 21 crores were redeemable in the year 2033 and were subjected to an annual finance charge of about 12%. Hence, the differential of Rs. 5.8 crores was considered as non-recurring finance cost or finance expense for quarter 1 financial year 26. I am happy to share post this payment the company has become debt-free. With this backdrop, let me discuss our financials. Total income grew by about 26% year-on-year and about 1% quarter-on-quarter to Rs. 211 crores. EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 14 crores, while PAT before non-recurring finance expense at Rs. 5 crores, more than doubled year-on-year and increased by about 39% quarter-on-quarter. For quarter 1, financial year 26, while SS tubes volume stood lower at around 850 tons owing to the planned maintenance schedule, steel product sales volume recorded an impressive growth to about 7,400 tons. The order book of the company at the end of the quarter 1 stood strong at about 6,500 tons valued at about Rs. 287 crores. Given the external business environment and overall demand scenario, especially export markets as discussed before, average sales realization and contribution margins have definitely come under pressure, especially with regards to steel products. Despite the situation, we have actively pursued our strategy of increasing our capacity utilization and prepare ourselves for future. The team brought sharper focus on domestic market and added new customers while engaging with existing domestic as well as export customer base to maximize our order intake. A total of 9 new customers got added during the quarter. Our focus remained undiluted on new product development and new accreditations in order to enhance our product range and market offerings. On this front, I am pleased to share some key updates. AS9100D accreditation for aerospace, final certification received, which recommendation letter was received in the previous quarter. Grade T91 tubes for boilers, trial order successfully produced and delivered, paving way for company to entry into another value-added steel as well as tube product. The company has launched process of IBR accreditation for alloy steel category bars and tubes and expect to complete the process by quarter 2 financial year 26, which is the current quarter. NORSOK M650 certification progress on track, expected completion by quarter 3 this year. Talking about the rights issue, we have completed the strategic deployment of the proceeds as per the stated objective of debt repayment, process debottlenecking, capability upgrades, working capital augmentation and other general purposes deemed appropriate by the board. The new Bright Bar project construction is going on in full swing. Its commissioning is scheduled during quarter 3 this year, which will add a substantial capability as well as capacity to value-added Bright Bar product. I am extremely happy to share our yet another significant initiative, the new solar energy subscription, which got commissioned and commenced transmission of power effective June 2025. The proportion of renewable electricity increased from 31% during financial year 25 to about 36% during April-June quarter. We expect share of green power in our total electricity consumption during financial year 26 to exceed 75%. Such initiatives will go a long way in not only supporting our internal ESG and sustainability objectives, but also preparing the company to remain ahead of curve when the policies on carbon emission related levies expected from various countries like European CBAM will start coming into force. We do expect stability in the market in the days to come, and given our focus on our core competency coupled with higher capacity utilization, I believe we will enhance our performance significantly in the forthcoming quarters. With this, we kindly open the floor for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on AS9100D accreditation. So my first question was that we have an outstanding order book of 286 crores. And as per rough back calculation, out of this total order book, I believe 200 crores is for pipes and balance is for bars in terms of value. And in terms of volume, it is coming to 3,000 metric tons of pipes and 3,500 metric tons of bars. Is this understanding correct? If not, then please correct me, sir.
Good afternoon, Radha. You did some maths, but, you know, maths has got a little difference. I think the right way to say would be that we've got about 6 months of order book for pipe, and you know, the balance is on bars. Bars normally, as I've been telling before also, that you know, the market norm is to have at least 2 months minimum, and in a good time it's 3 months, which in our case is about 1.5, I would say, 1 to 1.5, and which is owing to the scenario at present. Now, the other reason could be that we really pressed the pedal during quarter one, and, you know, as I said, I mean, the volumes went up by more than 40% compared to the previous quarter. So, which means our, you know, intensity of order intake also got, offset by the intensity of deliverance. So I can say, you know, the team is all poised and is working on building the order book, you know, as a first milestone to minimum 2 months and, you know, up to 3 months.
So, sir, if we take 6 months for pipes, then it is coming to 2,500 metric tons of volume, in terms of volumetric terms for pipes. Is this correct, sir?
That's not correct, because here, you know, our estimation on deliveries year on would be much, much better. So I think, you know, the historical volumes, you know, which I said in our last, you know, discussion also, that we are clearly looking at a 25% to 30%, you know, increase over our deliverance of past.
Okay, sir. Secondly, sir, order intake, like you mentioned, in this usually it used to be 200 crores average per quarter, but in this quarter it has come down to 150 crores. So, please give us some specific reasons as to what has led to this and how much is unexecuted bail orders.
Sorry, I probably missed your first statement. 150 crores, you said about what?
Quarterly order intake, sir.
Total order intake.
So you are calculating based on opening order book, sales and the closing order book, correct? Hello, can you hear us?
Yes.
Your voice is breaking. Can you?
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Radha. Your voice is breaking. I would request you to rejoin the question queue.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, team, and thank you for giving
us. Good afternoon, Rehanji.
Yeah. And I have a couple of questions. And so first of all, on the P&L side, so in EBITDA margins stood at 6.6% in quarter one FY23 as compared to the last YOY quarter on quarter 10%. So to what extent was this drop attributable only to the pipe shutdown or was this any raw material or energy cost pressure which we are facing in this quarter? Maybe elaborate on that.
So broadly, Rehan, what I would like to say is two things. One is, as I also mentioned clearly in my opening remarks, that in steel specifically, there is pressure on price and there is pressure on margins. So obviously, due to that situation, while we could make better EBITDA margins in terms of absolute numbers, but as a percentage, you will see a drop, which is the market norm at this point in time. On the pipe, as I said, is because of this scheduled maintenance, though we had expected that, you know, we'll probably be able to do a bit better volume. But let's say there was a clear 1 month, activity on maintenance which was going on. And that's the reason, you know, the high margin, you know, pipe volume got reduced. And that's why you are seeing this, you know, average EBITDA margin going down. So it's simple math. I mean, and
yeah.
Considering this as a quarter, as I explained, I mean, you know, the next quarter is definitely on pipe. We are going to be, bouncing back as we were doing in the past. And plus, I expect better volumes over that as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And my next question is on the certification that you have got, AS9100D for aerospace. Just a bit regarding the opportunity size, what's the plan for scaling in aerospace conference and are there any that you have mentioned in the previous given conference, any RFQs or any order under discussion post this expiration, just to kind of clarify more on this?
I think I explained this aspect into deep details in the last call. And if we take this into two different areas. One is pipe and one is steel. Right? On the pipe and tube side, there are customers who are buying directly, you know, the product. And we are already engaging with a few of them, especially on the defense side. We already did some trial business in the past and now we are actively engaged and expect some business coming our way between quarter two and three, and which could be a strategic, you know, value business. As far as the steel is concerned, AS9100 is an enabler whereby you see most of the business in large aerospace markets like UK, in US, in Europe, happens through the stockholders. Now, the stockholders prefer to buy from the companies who have got aerospace approval also attached to the product. Then in that case, by maintaining, you know, unity quantity of a product, they are able to sell it for all applications including aerospace. Okay, so this is like an enabler and will help us in opening the new customers who are fixed on having this approval, you know, in their internal system to approve a supplier, and enhance our volumes with the customers who are buying from us already. Now if you ask me, the real effect and progress will start to see in quarters to come, as currently, you know, the overall scenario is little depressed.
Okay. And then last one bookkeeping question from my side, like, is there any CapEx plan, like in absolute numbers we are doing for FY23, FY24, we have plans?
So FY26, we are very clear, as I said, we are building a new Bright Bar shop, right?
Yeah.
And plus there are a few debottlenecking equipment which are coming within pipe plant and some in steel plant, which are not, I mean, none of this is targeted to increase our overall, you know, quantity deliverance. They are all in the nature of either adding value to the existing capacity or, you know, debottlenecking of a certain process, you know, as one process out of the complete line of. So I think in this year, you know, our total capital expenditure could go, you know, to the tune of about 40 to 45 crores, which out of which major, major one is going into the Bright Bar shop, which we are, you know, which we are building like a very world-class shop, I can say.
Okay. That's it for my side. Thank you and good luck for your coming call. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you again.
Yes.
So next question is that so I was calculating the quarterly average order intake. So usually it is around 200 crores per quarter, but in this quarter it has come down to 150 crores. So what are the reasons for lower order intake in this quarter, and in pipes, how much is unexecuted main orders?
I would not have exact number in front of me, but I mean, you see, there is a significant portion of boiler tube order in our overall order book. So, and, you know, of course, it was a large one, and so therefore, at the same time, you know, we have a lot of different orders, or let's say inquiries, under discussion at this point in time. And, you know, obviously, this, you know, when we always thought, once we have this, you know, order book going to a range of 6 months, 7 months, then we will become more choosy and, you know, little picky, you know, into picking businesses which are, you know, value businesses. And that is where, you know, maybe you will see some, you know, some less intake on the pipe side because, you know, we are full and at the same time, we are now, you know, little choosy into picking the business. On the steel, I would say, I think we have pretty well booked similar as last quarter or maybe a little more, but then the, you know, the average price dip is probably offsetting, you know, the increased volume. So, I think that is the difference that you are probably seeing at this point in time.
But sir, you know, usually we have a fixed price contract with the customer.
Yes.
So, So accordingly, if we see QOQ, the order book is down 9% in terms of volumes, but in terms of value, it is down 14%. So that only I was trying to figure out, sir.
That could be a, you know, that first of all, we have two different line of products, which is pipe and, you know, steel. Now, within steel, again, we have cast, rolled, bright, then there are grades. So there is a, you know, we cannot say, you know, if there are just couple of products, then, you know, a simple calculation will work as to, you know, the proportion of value should be equivalent, almost equivalent to the proportion of quantity. So here it's not the case, you know. The order book that we probably saw in the last quarter, you know, on the steel, 100% of it has been delivered. On the pipe, let's say about 20% of it has been delivered. And the new orders have come in. So the mix, the proportion, you know, might change.
Okay, sir. You know, out of the total effective capacity in bars, how much of it is going to be dedicated towards this bright bar? And what are the reasons that is leading you to becoming positive in this product? And are there any new orders in this product?
See, our first purpose is to utilize the melt shop and the rolling capacity to the maximum possible extent, right? And as we had earlier also guided that we did about 20,000 tons in last year of sales, which included black, bright, you know, all kinds, without counting the captive consumption for pipe plant. and which we are clear that this year, you know, we are going to definitely increase that utilization by about 30% or maybe even more. And I think we are on the path. In quarter one itself, we are seeing that, you know, 30% plus increase already came in. So, now as far as Bright Bars is concerned, our current capacity of Bright Bars is less, right? Is about 22,000 tons. Out of which we are pretty much after consuming whatever we need for captive pipe plant, you know, the rest is, I would say, primarily full, you know, for sales outside. In fact, some of the, you know, some of the bars we are even getting turned outside. I mean, just to, you know, cover our requirements. So with this new shop coming in, you know, the capacity will increase like 3 times plus the existing capacity. So, you know, making it like completely sufficient to cover the entire production that we have, and in which case obviously we'll see growth in our bright bar sales.
Okay, sir. And so you mentioned in your PPT that you have added 9 new customers in this quarter. So what are the expected order wins from these customers in the next 1 year? And how much more customer additions are you planning for the remaining half of the year? Basically, I wanted to understand how fast can we fill the capacity of both bars and pipes.
Well, I think, you know, the guidance of, you know, increase remains. Now, as far as customer addition is concerned, we may be, you know, our team may be talking to 20 different customers or 25 different customers at a time. But when we say addition means where the orders have been booked, you know, those have been matured. So, and I think, depends on the market, depends on so many factors. But yeah, I mean, our expectation from the team, and, you know, plus they are also very clear that they have to add more and more customers. Now, these will be a mix of B2B, B2C, steel, pipes, I mean, all kinds. So I think it will be probably difficult for me to say that, you know, from these 9 customers, how much business will come. But you know, the whole idea is that how do we get this 30%, you know, incremental volumes or more? And I think we have a plan, and, you know, you can see that we are getting there.
Yes, sir. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah,
thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Parth from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, Mr. Parth.
Sir, I have a few questions. Thank you. So the first question is related to exports. So is there, like, do we share this exports number, like as a percentage of volumes for the pipes business?
You see, first of all, Parth, if you ask me, that's not really a benchmark or relevant when, you know, if I would analyze. Important is what kind of applications we are selling, what kind of grades we are selling. So, but since you have asked, I can tell you that I think in our case, by export volumes, which 2 years back in pipe used to be about 40-45%, is now about 20%. And which is something that we chose. You know, our focus is more on value add, and, you know, we are part of, you know, India growth story. And you'll see that most of our book on pipe is now comprised of, you know, strategic businesses, which are of a greater value. And we are almost out of, you know, the standard scheduled pipes, and which used to be the most subject matter of exports.
Right. Fair. So, sir, basically the reason why I asked this question is because I wanted to understand the tariff angle. Like, if we had, like, since we don't have much of exposure, so then there's no point. However, even this 20%, like,
think,
to US and Europe are the... Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think that could not be the 100% right statement to say that we are not impacted. I can tell you the trade or the global trade today is not only restricted to you know, tariff action taken by US and whether we are selling into US or not, right? So what is happening is, I mean, for you to understand is why this whole scenario of, you know, price war and, you know, let's say depressive pricing and margins, what, you know, what's happening there? So let's understand, in stainless steel world, you know, European mills have been big suppliers to the US markets. And you can say that because of their approvals, because of their, you know, past experiences and, you know, they are established like for decades and some of them are even 100 years old companies. Yeah. And suddenly, you know, everything has stopped because they also are now subjected to 50% tariff, right? Now, with 50% tariff, obviously, you know, those companies are unable to sell into US and so their prices have gone down more than 20% to 30% on an average in last only 3 months. And which has led to, you know, excessive supply in the domestic European market. And which is bringing a lot of effect on the, you know, overall stainless steel pricing in Europe and as a result, you know, pressure on the Indian mills. So, but, you know, the better news is, or a good news could be that, you know, this is like a pressure situation which has come for a reason. At the same time, if you look at, you know, the developments all around, I mean, this is not going to, this is not expected to be a permanent situation, right? So I'm sure there will be, you know, some agreements, you know, that will happen over a period of time. And once this gets normalized, you know, things should be back to, you know, back to track.
Got it. And sir, one more thing, like these European companies, they do have, so the reason why there would be some pressure on the Indian markets is because they, these European companies, they do have their operations even in India. And is it that the, you know, the parent company over there would, you know, tell these guys to lower the pricing in Indian, for the Indian market?
That's not really significant. Even, you know, the Indian establishment of a foreign company would operate mostly in, you know, like any other company in the Indian scenario. I think the more effect is coming for a reason that a lot of steel used to go from India to Europe. It is still going. I mean, it's, nothing has really stopped, but it has come down significantly. And you know, where the supply suddenly increased in Europe, so obviously, you know, there is a pushback, and which is what we are seeing at this point in time.
Fair enough. Got it. And sir, this one thing about, you know, domestic competition for the SS pipes and tubes. So, you know, there are like, you know, contentions that, you know, the pipes which are used for critical applications, like, you know, the ones that you make. But, you know, our competition recently has, you know, got an award for, you know, supercritical thermal application, which who, you know, produces these pipes through piercing technology. So what happens, like, if, you know, these products get, you know, accepted more in the market, because, you know, I don't think besides four players there are like any other players who have you know, extrusion technology. So what sort of competition or pressure does it put on us or players who have hot extrusion technology?
So I think part market is evolving, you know, and which is a feature of the market, it has to evolve. First of all, I can tell you on pipe and the way, you know, the consumption in India is going up, there is enough market, number one. Number two, there is enough market for strategic applications where still there are applications where extrusion is a must. And more than that, you know, I can tell you that in our strategy, obviously we are picking those kind of orders and businesses where extrusion is a must, or, you know, the grade or the product is such which cannot be produced, you know, by any other route.
Okay.
That is our first priority. But at the same time, you see our USP is also being integrated. Right? We are
right,
quick ones,
right. Yep.
You know, to make a quote, you know, to make a full end-to-end feasibility whether a product can be made or not, and not dependent on a external steel supplier, you know, which is one very important aspect, you know, to help us before we really make a commitment on the pipe. So I think there are more than just a factor of exclusion. Of course, it is a very important factor, but then there are so many other things, you know, which gives us a little edge over our competition. And as far as, you know, piercing products getting into strategic sector, I think we need to really wait as to which all sectors it really gets successful. Though, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm casting any doubt there, but then that is something which is like a new phenomena. So we are also, you know, waiting and watching.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have our clear strategy as to, you know, what we need to do. So it's fine. I mean,
fair enough. Sir, and sir, this just one last question. You mentioned that, you know, having a backward integration. So how big a role does it play when you go to the customer, like, you know, for him to decide, like, which so in a different way, if I had to ask this question, basically how, in which sector does it play an important role to have a backward integrated pipes and tubes facility?
Every sector which is conscious on quality and conscious on controls. Take example, you know, we are not a new player in this field, right? There are players sitting, I mean, I'm talking of global market, and India used to import so many, you know, seamless products for various applications all these years, right? It's the Make in India started only about 2 years back or 3 years back, and we are seeing a lot of companies now developing these products in India. So if you take example of maybe, you know, not just thermal, but also, let's say, in nuclear, when we started supplying, pipes for nuclear establishment and for ISRO and things, we got these approvals very fast, basis, you know, we being integrated from end to end. And that gave customers a lot of confidence, you know, that we are not, that they will be also able to kind of monitor and control their quality under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make a lot of, you know, difference. Take an example of EIL. So generally EIL approvals take longer time. I mean, you know, experience of 5 years, 7 years and those kind of things. But when they saw that, you know, here's a plant which is completely integrated end to end, I think our approvals came very, very fast. And same is the case with a lot of export tube approvals that we got. And, you know, you can say that most important aspect which these few customers clearly, you know, spelled out is that you being integrated, I mean, gives us a lot of confidence. So I think it is very, very
Understood, sir. Understood. Those are my questions, sir. Thank you so much for answering them.
Thanks.
Thank you. We would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Radha from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you again. Sir, my question was that you have a brand advantage of Wellspore in the global market, especially in booming regions like Middle East and USA for the oil and gas part. Please talk about how are you leveraging this brand to gain customer approvals, especially with giants like Saudi Aramco or other bigger players.
So, first of all, having this brand and coming from the group already gave us a lot of leeway and the advantage, and that is why, you know, being a newest company also, we are doing quite a lot of business and have a standing which perhaps would not have been otherwise possible. The second is, it is not for the reason that, you know, one company as a brand, you know, can get the approvals or a leeway into certain businesses, right? So the merits of operational efficiency capability plays a role. Now, at the same time, our own strategy plays a role. So you can say that in case of Middle East, you know, first of all, as per us, there are, for most of the projects, there are number of suppliers already available. Having said that, I mean, I absolutely do not mean that market is not important for us, and our actions on that market are already on. And we will soon see, you know, those approvals in place. But our priority until recently was not so much to get into Middle East. That market is only about pipes and tubes, not really steel. And on pipes and tubes, our focus was, and which we fairly succeeded, was to get into the areas wherein we can get some kind of, you know, distinct advantage. And I think, you know, you would understand and the market understands that we have been fairly successful in doing that.
Yes, sir. Sir, in the last quarter, you had successfully booked your first order for the T91 and T91 grade. So I believe these grades are used in nuclear power plants. So in that context, for a nuclear power plant, what is the average content of stainless steel pipe required for a 1,000 megawatt large nuclear reactor? And in nuclear reactors, I believe stainless steel are used for heat exchanger tubes, coolant piping, steam generator tubes, etc. So do we have all the product approvals of all these kinds of pipes, and what is our plan regarding this?
So I'll just first really correct here that, you know, T91 is not used in a nuclear reactor. The T91 is used in thermal power plants, and the grade is used not only for tubes but also for various other components which goes through maybe forging route, machining route. So this is a grade which will give us you know, business in tubes as well as in steel. So that is the reason we developed this, and the trial order was supplied for thermal power plant only. And that is the reason we have also gone ahead with obtaining the accreditation from IBR, so that we are able to certify, you know, the boiler safety regulation when we are selling these products. So this is about T91. We see a lot of opportunity in T91 because there are not many manufacturers in India. In fact, probably only a couple of them. And that's why this product had been an item of import, you know, again, for many, many years. And we are seeing this consumption of, you know, P91, 92 and similar category products increasing in times to come. And that is the reason we have very selectively picked up and gone for, you know, developing it. On the nuclear...
What is the opportunity?
The opportunity, again, as I said, if India were to build 80 gigawatt as projected over next few years, then there is huge opportunity. And, you know, we are seeing that happening. So, I mean, these are bulk use, you know, kind of grades. And I think we will see good businesses coming in these grades. Now, on the nuclear, as you were asking, you see, nuclear has got, I would say, numerous applications because it's a huge plant with, you know, various components and various kinds of tubes and grades and sizes and applications. So I cannot really say that whether, you know, we stand approved for every single application. Of course, there would be some that we are not approved. But then for a large ambit, for a large scope of tubing that goes into nuclear, I mean, we have been supplying off and on, and therefore, you know, we can very confidently say that we will not see an obstacle, you know, from the approval side of it. Important is that currently in nuclear, most of the businesses which were coming up until now were to do with the, you know, maintenance or repairs or, you know, some bit of construction of new components. But what we expect here on is, you know, major investments coming into nuclear setups. And therefore, you know, next maybe 3 to 5 years, you know, we will see this business growing. The inquiries have already started. We are engaging with various fabricators and the other ancillaries, you know, who are supplying for nuclear projects. And we see this proportion of nuclear will increase, you know, in our business in next couple of years.
Sir, any number on what kind of stainless steel pipe requirement would be there in per gigawatt nuclear power plant?
Well, I would really not know that because there are different technologies and you know there is it's not a same design, so very difficult to say on that one. But yeah, I mean they are whatever it is. I mean they are very high value, so we don't expect them to be like thousands of tons. There are probably a few hundred tons that goes into one reactor complete set, but it has a huge value.
Order book, like I was asking previously, is generally on fixed price contracts with customers, and raw material also, as you said on previous calls, that it is booked on a back-to-back basis. So despite this, there has been some quarters wherein pipe volume mix is same within the quarter. For example, 20% of total volumes have been pipe, let's say in two quarters. But still, if you compare on a gross margin per metric ton trend, there has been some reduction on a per metric ton basis. So sir, on the basis of pricing and on the basis of back-to-back booking of raw material, I'm failing to understand what is causing this, sir. And yes, sir, that was the question. What is causing this?
No, so I probably explained this few minutes back. You see, our sales are on a fixed price basis. Our raw material also we book on a fixed price basis. But what I sold, 3 months back or 4 months back, let's say the same product, was selling at 100 rupees. And today when I'm selling it, it's selling at, let's say, 97 rupees. Okay. That day when I sold at 100, I could buy raw material at 92. And today when I'm buying raw material, it is available at 91. So you see, it is fixed, 91. That day it was fixed at, 90. But if you look at the margin between the sale price and the purchase price of raw material, that has got squeezed, right? And that happens mm-hmm. because of the reasons I explained, the supply, increase of supply and, decrease in demand. Decrease in demand for the reason of, market optimism and increase of supply due to this tariff challenge which is going on at this point in time.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question. All the best to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hina from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I'm fairly new to the company, but I have been looking at the steel pipe space. So I just wanted to understand on the export front, what we see from peers is there's really good demand for them. Now, is it a different market that they are catering to where we are not present? I'm just trying to understand why we would think that the demand in Europe, for example, has gone down significantly.
Hina, if I've understood your question correctly, one part is whether the demand in Europe has gone down or not. And second is, are there any segments where competition is selling and we are not selling? Is that the question?
Yes, or any geographies per se where, the competition would be present and we are not.
Okay, so if we talk of geography, first of all, let us understand India as a manufacturer of seamless pipe is a new source, right? And we are evolving, we are emerging. Before us, the biggest suppliers or producers had been Chinese, and which still today also they are, right? And then historically we see seamless pipes, coming out from Korea, coming out from Japan, and, a lot of companies in Europe. So this was the setup. Now, the Indian companies started to sell into Europe most of their, capacity of a proportion of export that goes out of India for a very simple reason that the European companies, which have been the stalwart companies, they were selling all across the globe because of their R&D history, application-based solutions, and you know, they are into different league. Okay.
Correct.
So which means that for standard scheduled pipes, which is within the seamless space considered as the base product, you know, the Indian companies could find a lot of space to get in. And they were able to control their sales prices in such a manner that, you know, they didn't leave a leverage for the European companies with the European cost to be able to compete there. And that, and plus, at the same time, the advantage also got passed on to the Indian companies because Europe had anti-dumping on Chinese seamless pipes.
Chinese, yes.
Right? So that is how it became a very conducive market, you know, for the Indian companies. And considering it as a very attractive kind of a business, you will see flurry of manufacturers opening shops in India. That is what has happened.
That's which has happened, correct.
And if you look at other locations, where can we go, or the Indian companies can go? US is dominated by, I think, probably 50-60% supplies are going from China. China tier 1, tier 2 manufacturers, not the, you know, cheap ones. Plus, US has domestic native companies, plus European, Japanese, all companies are selling there. And, you know, it's a very, very, you can say, approval-oriented market. So it's not difficult to sell in bulk, you know, the standard pipes as in case of Europe. Other than these two locations, we don't see, you know, much of an opportunity, except again for Middle East. Now, Middle East is, you know, everybody is present in Middle East, if you ask me, right? From Korea to Japan to China, because there are absolutely no restrictions, you know, other than Saudi has recently brought Make in Saudi, and, you know, they are promoting manufacturing in Saudi. So that is a new phenomenon, and we are also working out our strategy around that. May not be necessarily for stainless steel, but, you know, other businesses. But that is a new phenomenon. But you see, the market size is limited. You know, only in Saudi, how much can one country consume? And, you know, you already see Koreans and Japanese opening the shops, and they are present there. So, I think that answers your question as to, you know, so we selling a lot of pipes into Europe. And as I said that, you know, that was a beginning for us, and we were able to probably at some point in time, we were selling about 70% of our sales into export, and which we curtailed over the last 3 years and, you know, converted that into a value-added sales, you know, instead of doing this competitive, pure scheduled pipes. So whatever little bit now we are selling into Europe, when I say little bit, like 20-25%, none of it is scheduled pipes. Now we are only doing tubing, we are only doing value add where, you know, we are getting premiums. So that's how we have changed our strategy.
Understood. No, I take your point on the, you know, the business environment per se, but it's just, you know, surprising because our peers, for them, export share has gone from 15-20% to now 50%, and for us, it has been the opposite per se.
To answer your question, simply that two completely different, you know, products. Maybe they are all categorized as seamless pipes and tubes, but what's going out is something that we have stopped producing because it's very cheap, very low value, and we don't see, you know, it's worth producing in, you know, in an extrusion plant.
Got it, sir. Sir, if you could also give me some flavor on the domestic front per se. So, you know, more on the oil and gas petchem side, because that is some demand that's been missing for a while. I understand power is doing well, renewable energy as well, but oil and gas, which used to be the bread and butter, right, for the steel pipes industry. Would you be able to give me some sense on that?
So, you see, there are two kinds of pipes and tubes in oil and gas. One is the transportation lines, which is mostly saw pipe and, you know, carbon steel, large diameter.
Yeah, carbon steel. Yeah.
Now, when we talk of stainless steel and the two seamless pipes, they go into the, you know, the plant and machinery setup, right? And which could be different kind of reactors, you know, in refineries and offshore platforms and maybe downhole equipment. So those kind of things. So I think quite a lot of that business is repetitive in nature, which means that if the refinery is operating, it will need the pipes to be replaced after some point in time.
Correct.
So, the replacement or the maintenance, depending on the market scenario, can be delayed a bit, but it still will have to be done. And that business is there. At the same time, you see, for private companies, there is no great restriction or a mandate to only buy from India, right? So which means that, you know, for them, even the Chinese imports or Korean imports or, you know, imports from other places is also open.
Correct.
And
despite the duties?
Well, yes, but not on all grades and not on all origins. There are restrictions.
Okay.
There are restrictions also of the nature of quality control order. So what we are seeing is that the imports are going down. And I was coming to that, the imports are going down. Now it's not absolutely free yet. It used to be 2-3 years back. And that's how, you know, the companies in India are also getting business. So other than what's getting exported, if you see, a lot of piercing mills are selling into oil and gas.
Okay, okay.
Especially the, you know, standard scheduled pipes wherever they are required. And on the tubing side of it, mostly the tubes are bought by the fabricators who are supplying into refineries. Now these fabricators are, take for example, Larsen & Toubro, Godrej & Boyce, you know, Anoop Industry, Ischek, Gemini. So, you know, these are the fabricators who are supplying into the refineries, the made components. And then they buy tubes, you know, from mills like us.
Correct.
So it's like an indirect supply. And that business is there. I mean, I would say, of course, with a depressed environment at this point in time, even these companies, fabrication companies, export sales have gone down. And that's what is reflecting into an overall scenario. But, I mean, we definitely expect, you know, this to be coming back soon as refineries have to operate and they will need equipment.
Correct, correct. So it's fair to assume that there has been some bit of deferment also when it comes to at least the replacement demand per se. So like you said, little depressed environment overall. So that would be fair to assume. So I was saying it's fair to assume that there is some bit of deferment happening even on the replacement demand. Okay, which should pick up eventually over the next few quarters.
Absolutely. We would expect so, yeah.
Sure. And so one last question from my end. Would you be able to tell me the capacity utilization number for us in this quarter and for FY25?
So FY25 on steel, we utilize, I would say, less than 40-45%. In case of pipe, utilized less than 60%. And in the current year, we expect at least 25-30% increase over our last year volumes. And this is the guidance that we are carrying. I mean, we'll, you know, by the end of the year, we will be able to, you know, in totality get that kind of utilization increase this year.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil S. from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Hi, Rahil.
One of the calls earlier, you had said you were exploring new markets like Mexico and Brazil. So any development on that front?
So, we have done our initial working, Rahil. In fact, in that series, we also had South Africa, wherein we could even start some initial business, some of which is also supplied. But you see, all of these markets currently are, you know, in a state of, uncertainty. And every customer out there is defensive. You know, it's little, you can say, you know, conservative in their buying approach. So, till such time, you know, this air around tariffs and, you know, supply chains gets cleared, I think would not be the right time, you know, to make efforts on the new markets. So I think we have our plan in place. We are keeping, you know, keeping them warm, and soon we see, you know, uptick in the market and, you know, some stability is sinking in. Then we will again activate all of these markets. These are important. These are there in our strategy, and you see, we have to get to the 90% utilization. You know, we have a lot of headroom. So I think we are not going to leave any of these markets, you know, untouched.
Okay, okay. And lastly, your guiding is still like aiming for that 30% volume growth this year. Are you not?
Yes, of course. That is, yes. That is definitely on
the cards, yeah.
Cards, and we are very confident of achieving that minimum 30% growth.
Does the same apply for value as well, value growth? Is that something you can
see value wise? I, you know, probably would have been more open and clear in giving that out, but you see, we need to appreciate that the kind of volatility that's existing at this point in time, I mean, probably would not be right, you know, to assume something. So the expectation is that things should improve from here, in which case what you said would definitely be possible. But you know, price wise uncertainty, and you know, that still prevails.
Okay, and then so does the same go for absolute EBITDA or maybe the margins as well? Is the same situation there as well?
Well, difficult to say, but we'll certainly have better profitability and good numbers, more based on our own utilization, efficiency on cost, better absorption of overheads, you know. So that will give us more margins and definitive margins. Market related volatility, very difficult to, you know, estimate at this point in time. Maybe we'll have probably better view, clearer view in next quarter. By then we expect this tariff and other things, you know, to get settled. It can't prolong for forever. So whatever has to happen probably will happen, and, you know, things will settle by then.
Okay, but it's safe to say that the remaining of the three quarters will be profitable for the company.
Of course, yes. Well, this is, yes. This is very, very clear. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks. While external challenges stemming from various uncontrollable factors persist, we will continue to prioritize the development and delivery of high quality products for various applications, focus on increasing customer base and capacity utilization, and further augment operational efficiency. We are confident that these efforts and actions will drive desired results in form of better profitability and growth in the future. I hope to have addressed your questions satisfactorily. Should you have any pertinent queries, I welcome you to reach out to our investor relation team. So with this, I thank you once again for joining us today, and I look forward to reconnecting with you very soon.
Thank you. On behalf of Wellspun Specialty Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.